chapter 14. No, we're not in 2 Corinthians tonight. This is a backup sermon. This is also a podcast spoiler. It's a podcast spoiler, so if you listen to the podcast, you will get the 7-minute version Friday. You'll get the 15-minute version today. So I think that's the way they go out. Right now it's just pretty much weekly. I'm not ahead. Well, if you are able to stand, let's look at verses 1 through, we'll figure it out. All right, let me just tell you what's going on here, okay? Saul has led his army to battle against the Philistines. At this stage in Saul's life, he is starting to slip spiritually. But his son Jonathan steps up to the plate. Jonathan will reveal something about his character in this passage that we're going to read that will teach us some things, I believe, in regards to how to live a consistent, victorious Christian life. That almost doesn't seem possible. A consistent, victorious Christian life. I'm a pastor and I'm like, I see my own failures. And I'm like, well, you know, if I got 4 out of 7 in the week, I feel pretty good. So, but anyways, we learned something about Jonathan here. And there's something that's mentioned that is distinctively mentioned. And the beauty of Scripture is everything has purpose in the Bible. Everything. So right now, the Israelites feel defeated as an army. They feel defeated. But Jonathan is not of that mind. Verse 1. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side and pick a fight. That's what it says in the Greek. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in migraine headache. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And this is our text. Between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was, it actually is pronounced S.T. Bostez, if we were to pronounce it accurately, and the name of the other, Sina. For the forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come unto us, come up unto us, then we will go up. For the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. You got to get a kick out of this, because he's going into enemy territory and he says, hey, let's go up there and make ourselves known. And if they tell us to come up to them, let's believe God wants us to go whip them. Now, the average coward would say, let's hide ourselves. And if they say, who's there? Then maybe God's called us. But no, Jonathan is looking for a fight. Verse 11. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, see, God wants us to whip them. Come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. I might as well keep reading, because the sermon's going to be take less time than the reading. So, and Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor-bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor-bearer slew after them. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor-bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. There we go. The fight's over. I had to get through that. Lord, bless the message. Help me to speak. Bless this simple truth. May the Spirit of God stir us, challenge us, and help us to be mindful of these sharp rocks. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. You need to visualize something. You need to visualize Jonathan and his armor bearer. They are restless. There's no fighting going on. But they've been marching and they've been waiting, and the Philistines are ready to go to war. And Saul, or Jonathan, takes things into his own hands. And it's interesting in verse 4. God's word would tell us between Jonathan and the Philistines. So we'll say the Philistines are the back wall. Between Jonathan and the Philistines are two sharp stones. We'll call those plants the stones. And the Bible tells us, distinctively, they're both sharp, does it not? So they could hurt you. And God gives us the names of these stones. He says, that stone there, the one on one side is called Bostez, and the other is called Sina. The average reader, and I was the same way, you'd read through something like that and you'd say, well, what's that all about? Okay, and it's easy to just kind of neglect it and get to the fight and see the excitement there. But I remember years ago going through 1 Samuel verse by verse on Sunday nights, and it blessed my heart because it made me look at every phrase, every word. And I asked myself, why are they named? The Bostez or Boses, that word means glistening, white. It means shining. That's what it means. I know. Sina, that word means thorny. That's what it means. If you got a little iPhone with the concordance, you can cheat and look right now. I don't care. I know I've already looked. So basically what we got here is we've got a shining sharp stone and we've got a thorny sharp stone. That's what the names refer to. Whether they appeared that way or not, I don't know. But God, in His holy word, has a spiritual message throughout the scriptures, and I don't think I'm stretching this. I know the application is true in everyday Christian life. But Jonathan had to go through those two to get to accomplish his mission. He had to go through those two to accomplish his mission. Now, I believe we all have a mission to glorify God. And maybe we have some specific missions. Maybe you're praying for somebody individual that you want to see them get saved. You want to see them get right with the Lord. You want to see something happen in your home or in your ministry, certainly in this church. Maybe there's a specific mission, but we all have that one primary mission to glorify God. As we do, God gets victory. What I'd like to say to you as I consider these two sharp stones is Jonathan didn't get hung up on either one, did he? But I have discovered, I've just discovered through experience, observation, that many Christians get hung up on one or the other as they pilgrimage in their Christian life. They get hung up, maybe number one, on the thorny things. Life becomes uncomfortable. It's difficult. They're trying to live for God, and then all of a sudden, it's just too distressing. Maybe there's persecution because of their faith, and they don't want to experience the persecution, so forget it. They're not going to pursue the mission. They've got hung up on the discomforts that Christianity brings. Are you hearing me? The thorns that... Hey, Paul said he had to live with a thorn in the flesh, didn't he? But it didn't keep him. It didn't hang him up. Oh, no, no, no. It didn't. But many... How many of you would be privy, I'm not asking for names, but you'd be privy to a Christian brother or sister who got hung up when things got difficult and they just got out of church. They abandoned church. Anybody know anybody like that? Anybody? A few of you? Yeah. Well, by the way, we're just as vulnerable. And listen, I was thinking even today, my voice is not strong right now. Well, it is feeling pretty good now, but it wasn't feeling good earlier, and I was a little unsettled about what to preach, and I'm like, man, I don't know what to preach here, and then the Lord just reminded me, what are you going to do, get hung up on the thorny? And I said, now I know what I'm going to preach. But a lot of times, I'm uncomfortable. So we don't go to church just because we're uncomfortable. Hey, listen, I understand there are a lot of reasons, a lot of legitimate reasons to not be in a church setting. I understand that. But listen, just the fact that I don't feel like it is not a good reason. I'm uncomfortable. I'm quitting the ministry because I don't like the way I was treated. Or I'm going to keep my mouth shut now at school because I just hate getting mocked. And everybody hates getting mocked. But are you going to shut up for Jesus because some loudmouth, some lost person has a few words to say to you? What on earth? What if we were really tested? But a lot of people, a lot of Christians get hung up on the thorny. Okay, this might go a little bit longer. But then over here, the glistening, the shining. Now, I've seen God's people come to God's house and grow in the Lord and literally begin to prosper materially. I mean, they begin to prosper. They get a job. They might even get their family in order. And man, all of a sudden, it seems like things are going pretty well for them. And as soon as these things happen, as soon as they start getting a good paying job, as soon as they start getting money in their pocket and money in their bank and they've got all the luxuries of life, here's what happens. They get hung up. And they're no longer pursuing God's mission. Oh, they might go through the motions, but there's no passion. There's no heart. There's no soul concern. And God knows it. And they got hung up. And if before long, I'm here to tell you, before long, they'll easily drift out of church. Because money can be a deceptive god. Good health can be a deceptive god. I mean, when things are going smooth, things are glistening, I mean, things are comfortable and things are shining, oh, it's easy to turn. Man, we can enjoy all these pleasures now that we couldn't enjoy before. And what happens? They get hung up. And I've seen plenty of people get out of church because of that. I've seen plenty of people get out of church because all of a sudden things started going well for them. They got money in their pocket. Now, they're just comfortable. They're no longer passionate. They're no longer desperate. They no longer see that, feel that need for Christ. And so, because they're comfortable and they've got hung up. Hello? Let me tell you, those who will be faithful when Jesus comes. Those who are found faithful when Jesus comes are going to be the ones, they might get a little hooked there, and they might get a little hooked there, but they're going to release and they're going to get back on that mission, and they're not going to let distress and discomfort and hardship keep them from the mission God's called them to. And they're not going to let the luxuries and the comforts and the pleasures of this life keep them from the blessings. Hey, that's all fine and dandy, but there's a mission that's more important that transcends the pleasures of this life. It transcends it. And, by the way, that mission, the accomplishment of that mission will far outweigh the sufferings of this world. Okay. Well, that's our sermon. Glad we got that out. I'm serious. I know, I'm talking to a Wednesday night crowd. I was thinking about you old Wednesday nighters. You need juiced up. You come here on a Wednesday night. You want the extra mile. Some of you come, had a long day at work, you're tired. Well, it's our job to take a syringe and stay on point. Stay on point. I don't know what's happened at work, good or bad. You got a mission. God's with you. He's going to take care of you, and He honors you for being faithful. Yes, He does. He does. Well, so there we go. I need to land this plane. Let's pray. Father, bless the service. Thank you for the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit help us, Lord, to not be hung up on these sharp stones. Lord, I know in my own life, I've felt hung up at times. And we got to shake ourselves off those sharp stones. Because if we stay hung up, it leads to defeat and misery. And Lord, I don't know the spiritual condition of everybody in the room, but they're here on a Wednesday night, and I pray that you'd encourage them, strengthen them, and may this just be good medicine to help them throughout the week. And so I ask all of this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.